Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And a very Merry Christmas to all of our Rediscover Hour listeners. Patrick Conley with you. And I hope that this Christmas season, just a reminder, fellow Catholics, remember Christmas is not over. I don't want to see that tree on the curb until at least January 7th, the day after Epiphany, and maybe not even until after the baptism of the Lord, because the Christmas season extends all that way. And you know what? Continue to celebrate the Christmas season. Kids, ask your folks for more candy and presents. Okay, all right. Maybe that's a little bit over the top, and it's not my role to say that. But do something to remind yourself that it is still the Christmas season, even though, you know, it's a Friday, or maybe you're listening on Saturday or Sunday. It's a weekend after Christmas, and you know, we've got some regular life going on again, and we're not away from work. We're back into the usual workaday world, a regular schedule. It's still time to celebrate the incarnation and the great gift that it is. And you know what's most fascinating to me about the Christmas season, or one of the most fascinating things anyway, is that we have so many important feast days that are just crammed into the short amount of time that we have here in the Christmas season. One of them on Friday, today, if you're listening on Friday, but today is the Feast of the Holy Innocents. The Holy Innocents. You remember the decree that was issued that all the young Jewish men, boys, should be killed, should be slaughtered, because Herod was so nervous about who this Jesus might be and how he might take over the kingdom, right? And it just reminds me that, you know, the ways of the world are not God's ways. And the mystery of this Christmas season of the God who created the heavens and the earth has come to us in the form of a tiny little completely dependent baby. That turns the mind inside out. And certainly theologians and scholars have spilled just a whole bunch of ink over trying to capture the essence of this mystery. And it really does go beyond explanation. That's why it's one of the central mysteries of our faith, that our God should take on human flesh and dwell among us. And yesterday we celebrated, Thursday, we celebrated the Feast of St. John the Apostle. He got this in his gospel. The St. John the Evangelist is also St. John the Apostle. And because he said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So maybe one of the things you could do over the course of this Christmas season is to take a bit of Scripture that relates to the Christmas message somehow, some way, and to read it through as a family, to gather around and have some time together as a family. This is still a good time to be together with family, even if you're, you know, back at work. I hope the kids aren't back at school just yet, but however it might take shape, take some time to read Scripture, to read some spiritual readings, some reflections on the Incarnation, to pray together as a family. Pray those joyful mysteries time and time and time again, and reflect together. Ask questions. Have a family discussion about, why is the Annunciation important? Why is the Visitation important? Why is the birth of Jesus important? These little things that may seem relatively insignificant, and you might not be moved to set aside time in the day, I'll tell you, even reflecting on my own childhood, some of those things, those discussions, those little things that seem to pop up are the ones that stick in my head to this day. And I'm betting it's probably the same with many of you, that around this time of year, although the family traditions are important, they tend to die out along the time of the 26th, 27th of December. Don't let it do it. It is the Christmas season. Let's continue celebrating the Christmas season. And we've got one way to do just that here. Joining me on the phone just now is The foundress of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, who sang at this year's National Christmas Tree Lighting Ceremony at the White House. This is Sister Joseph Andrew Bogdanowicz. Sister, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so very much. This is great fun. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you with us. Now, we want to get into the singing at the White House, of course, but first of all, tell us a little bit about who are the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist.
Well, we are a community founded by four of us sisters. I'm one of the four back in 1997 under Cardinal O'Connor in New York, but it was St. John Paul II, who gave us the permission with all the work that we had done and everything to become a new Dominican community. And so we then traveled to Ann Arbor, Michigan, where we put down our mother house eventually. And we've grown from four in that amount of time, from four to 144 sisters, with the average age being 32 years old.
Wow.
So it's amazing what God is doing here. I always say it's God's goodness and mercy.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
All of us.
Right. I don't think you can get those kind of numbers by simply human effort.
No.
Certainly
exactly.
The Lord is at work. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Now, you're the music director for the music projects, is that right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's correct.
Well, tell us some about the music projects, because you've had some pretty successful albums, haven't you?
We have been blessed to really have some successful things, yes. And really, the main thing that I would want to say is, the Dominican spirituality, 800 plus years old now, we've always placed music as a very, very important way to worship Christ, So the music that we brought to our CDs and that we've brought to the radio and television and the many outlets through there to the wider culture has really been just an outgrowth of our own music that's part of who we are in our prayer life. So, yeah, but we've been on the Oprah Winfrey Show, you probably know that, the NBC Today Show, the Associated Press, the NBC News Nightly, Fox and Friends, Good Morning America, CBS, on and on.
Quite the publicity.
I really think it's because people hunger for God, and it's a moment. All they have to do is absorb the joy and the beauty and God's love, and they don't have to make a comment and, decide which direction they're going on or what side they're on. They can just absorb love unconditionally, and I think it's just such a freeing experience, which God's love always is for us.
Hmm. So clearly with all of your public appearances that you were just recounting for us, it's not necessarily surprising that the White House found out about you, but then you were invited to sing at the tree lighting ceremony.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more about how that all came about.
I was going to say that was very surprising to us. We were actually invited and asked if we would be interested probably in late October, and we were very surprised and extremely pleased and honored and said, of course we would be willing to do this, and then the White House worked with us and De Montfort Music, which is an extension of our music as well, to figure out, how this would take place. But the beautiful thing was we were able to be there in front of the nation and singing about what Christmas really does mean, the birth of God himself into this world, and bringing the sisters joy to all those who were able to hear it and participate in it in any manner. And in fact, if anybody has missed it, they can still see it on thenationaltree.org. They can still bring that up. And so, really, we're just very grateful that we were able to do this, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Wonderful. How did you choose what songs to sing?
Actually, we were asked to do the ones that we were given. So the Carol of the Bells was the one that they had asked for, and then they asked. Also, they wanted upbeat, so We Wish You a Merry Christmas, which are upbeat ones. And then at the very end, they ended with a medley of music. So all the performers were there together, and that went from from Rudolph to White Christmas to different things. So it was just a beautiful, beautiful hour of uplifting America, I think, and reminding us who we are and why we are and who we need to thank for the incredible blessings of being this nation.
Mm-hmm. So just out of curiosity, obviously with all these public appearances, maybe it's becoming second nature now, but do any of the sisters ever express nervousness about singing in front of so many people, not just live, but in TV audiences?
Do you know, if they do, I think it comes out in just that much more superabundant joy.
Hmm.
Because we don't, if we took ourselves really seriously, so to speak, then it would become us, and yes, we would. But as it is, to get out there wherever we're invited and able and bring God's love and God's joy, you just kind of forget yourself and you just have fun.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. I know that there are people listening who will want to know, okay, what albums do I look for, or how do I go and purchase an album? So how would one go about purchasing one of your albums?
Sure. The albums that we do have are, the very first one was Mater Eucharistiae, and that one was put up for a Grammy. It didn't end up winning, but that was pretty amazing to us. And then the second was the Rosary, Mysteries, Meditations, and Music. And then the third one really probably has topped the charts the most. All these were chart top. Anyway, Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring, Christmas with the Dominican Sisters of Mary. And those can be ordered on our website, which is sistersofmary.org. And you go to the store and all those albums, as well as some of the actual music is there also, if someone wants instrumental music as well.
Oh, nice. Very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. About how many sisters were at the tree lighting ceremony, sister?
That was actually 13. That
okay.
Great number of 13. Yeah.
That's all right. Well, that is a good number. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I always figured that 13 is a good number because After Judas was no longer part of the picture, then we had both Matthias and Paul, so then we've got 13 apostles,
oh,
you know, so
well,
I'm all right with that.
Of the 11 faithful, Jesus and Mary.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. There you go. I like that, too. Sure. I'll take that. Yeah, very good. The remainder of our show today is going to be a lot about bringing the faith into the public square, and I think that this is a great expression of that, that it doesn't necessarily always have to be in some sort of a contentious way that is always, that's fighting tooth and nail.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that there's no place for that, but I think that your singing at this ceremony is a great way of bringing, as you said yourself, the beauty and the joy of God into the public eye. Would you agree with that?
Oh, completely. I think, you know, I always say Screwtape, you know, from C.S. Lewis's
mm-hmm.
Screwtape. How does Screwtape try to get at us? He tries to discourage us. And to really watch very much of the news today, sadly, can be very discouraging. Why doesn't the news or anything, we've got to hold up the good, the true, the beautiful. Because God wants a lot of every one of us, and if we allow ourselves into a discouragement mode, we won't be able to do the good, the true, the beautiful, or even sometimes be attracted to it anymore. So I think the reality is, if He made us and He wants us to live with Him forever, what we are doing now has to be important. And so we have to plug into these things that lift us up. And there are opportunities for that. And so I think that's why perhaps our community has been blessed with so many wonderful requests that we always say yes to, if at all possible, because that's what we're trying to do, is just lift up the world closer to God and remind everyone of who we are and why we are. And the beauty that is in each one of us, if we choose to live, you know, according to God's designs for us. And therefore, that equals the joy that's just so superabundant. Yeah.
Amen. Well, I can say this, sister. I have never met a Dominican sister who's not full of joy. So that's, in my
God
experience,
love
you. You're right along with them. Sister, before we let you go, I just was wondering, I usually open the show here at the top of the show with a Hail Mary. I'm wondering if you would lead that for us before you go.
That's one of my favorites. Thank you.
Please.
Okay. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, sister, for joining us on the Rediscover. Thank you for all that you are doing, the way that you're saying yes to living out God's will in your life. And, yeah, thank you for being part of the show
thank
this morning. God
you.
Bless you.
God bless you. Blessed Christmas.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
yeah,
you.
We're going to listen as we go to break with a little bit of an extended version here of the Carol of the Bells that the sisters sang at the White House tree lighting ceremony.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3% with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
Back to the Rediscover Hour. That's a little bit more singing from the Sisters of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, who sang at the Christmas tree lighting ceremony at the White House this year. And well, as here in the Rediscover Hour, we're talking today about maybe a little bit more about living out your faith in the public square. And joining me now in studio, we have both Jason Adkins, who's a regular here on the program, who's the executive director of Minnesota Catholic Conference, and also Rachel Herbeck, who's the outreach and policy coordinator for Minnesota Catholic Conference. And you've also appeared on the program before. Welcome back to the two of you.
Merry Christmas, Patrick.
Merry Christmas to you. Yeah, it's great to be with you in this Christmas season. All right, so you're here specifically about, you're having another little of those Catholics at the Capitol events. What's that all about? What's Catholics at the Capitol?
Well, it's important to remember that if we want our government to work, if we want it to do the things we should, if we want it to protect life and dignity, then it's designed to have the participation of citizens, right? We need, it's a government, as Lincoln said, of the people, by the people, for the people. But unless we as faithful citizens show up, it's going to be government of the few people, right?
Right.
So our legislators need us as resources. They need to know what's going on, what's affecting their constituents, what's affecting their communities. No one's implanted, you know, with all the knowledge about what needs to be done in government right when they get elected office. Politicians or legislators, they care about two or three things. But on everything else, you know, they'll go with their party, they'll go with what their constituents are telling them. So that's why it's really important for Catholics to come to the Capitol and make Catholic voices count, to really give that perspective about what supports life and dignity, and then get those tangible experiences where they can form relationships with their legislators so they can do so, not just now, but in the future as well. So we want to give people real, tangible experiences that are safe in the sense of being able to go to the Capitol with a group of people, be inspired, be engaged, be equipped, and then form relationships with our legislators.
What an important thing to do. Rachel, as in your role with the Minnesota Catholic Conference, I mean, from your perspective, why is this such an important thing, Catholics at the Capitol?
Yeah, I mean, especially from the perspective of my role and being out a lot in different parishes, encountering Catholics across the state, people want to be engaged, right? They want to make a difference here in Minnesota. They want to make their Catholic voices heard. But the biggest thing is, I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
And so even before working at this job, I think sometimes the Capitol or talking to legislators can seem like this big, intimidating thing. And, you know, I don't know about all the bills. I don't know. There's all these fears. So as Jason's saying, I think it's really important to give a forum for people to do that, where you say, all you got to do is come, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll give you everything else you need, but all you got to do is show up. So that's really what Catholics at the Capitol is about, is giving people who want to share their faith in this way, which a lot of people do, and it's what we're called really to do, to share our faith in the public arena, to say, you know, come out for this day and we'll teach you what that looks like. You know, everything from the legislative points, what it looks like to talk to a legislator, to the role of faith and how that actually comes together with politics. So I think it's really important to just give people a forum to experience that and say, hey, that wasn't so hard.
Okay, now I'm gonna play devil's advocate here.
Sure.
For a moment. So it sounds really easy to me to sit back in my armchair at home and watch the local news mm-hmm. station or whatever it might be and just hear the way they're complaining about it. And I get angry right along with them about everything mm-hmm. that's going on in the government these days. It's pretty easy to mm-hmm. do that. It doesn't take much effort. But Catholics at the Capitol, I think the intimidating thing for me is not necessarily even getting out of my armchair.
Mm-hmm, sure.
That might be, I'm getting to the age now where that might be a little bit more of a struggle. But it's I'm going to go in, I'm going to face-to-face talk with state mm-hmm. legislators. I mean, that sounds a little intimidating. What's it like? Mm-hmm. What's it like to go into an office of a legislator and have a face-to-face conversation with him or her?
Right. I mean, to be honest, it's like this. It's a conversation. Mm. And I think that's the biggest feedback we heard from anyone who went to Catholics at the Capitol in 2017 was they were shocked at how straightforward it was. And they realized, wow, my legislator is just a person, you know, because they're just people that are from where you live, from your district. And so it's really straightforward. Usually the meetings are pretty quick. You know, they're only about 15-minute meetings. So you're going in with a group of people that you've spent all morning at the River Center getting to know and talking with. So you're not alone. And you really just introduce yourself, sit down, and they basically say, what's up? You know, what do you have for me today? And it's really simple, straightforward conversation.
So now
like this.
They're not there to pick a fight or get in an argument or anything like that?
No, and they don't have an expectation that the normal folks from their district are policy experts, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's enough for a person to show up and express a concern about a particular issue. That's really important for them to know. You might not have the exact bill number, you might not know all the particulars of a piece of legislation, but simply by showing up, that makes all the difference. In local politics of the state and in our communities, the county, the city, politics gets made and the policy gets made by those who show up. And that's why it's really, really important for people to just go and be a present and express concern and do so as a community. And it's opportunity not just for people to be equipped and inspired and engaged to be faithful citizens that day and every other day, but for the Catholic community to come together with our bishops mm-hmm. bring a communal voice to the Capitol in solidarity that day, and talk about some important issues, and let legislators of the Catholic community itself has a voice and something that they should be concerned about and listen to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that that's one of the things, too. You mentioned that going in as a community is such an important piece of it. I know that the Rediscover Hour was actually at the 2017 Catholics at the Capitol doing some on-the-spot interviews, and I think that's one of the things we heard over and over again, that people were so impressed by the number of people who were coming out to express their faith in the public square in a really non-confrontational way, but in a very honest and straightforward way. It doesn't mean that you don't care about these issues, but okay. So two things we haven't mentioned yet. First of all, when is it? When's Catholics at the Capitol coming up?
Yeah, so it's going to be February 19th, 2019. So you can remember it 2-19-19.
Nice.
That's how you remember it. And it's going to be starting the morning session at the River Center in downtown St. Paul, and then we will bus people over to the Capitol.
Okay, very good. What's going to happen at the River Center?
Well, we've got a really engaging and inspiring lineup that morning. So besides our speakers, we've got really two of the best, I think. Jim Caviezel. We know him as Jesus. The Passion of the Christ.
That's right.
Jesus, so
Jim's going to have an important message for us about, you know, discipleship, even when it costs something, right? I mean, playing Jesus in the Passion cost him something tangibly to live the faith in his professional life. And so we're called to be witnesses, and the Greek word for witness is martyr, right? Mm-hmm. So martyrdom can take a different look in different societies and in different times, but you know, when it, you know, being that witness, even when it costs us something, and in the public square today, that is an important message for us. And then Archbishop Charles Chaput from Philadelphia, one of our foremost thinkers on the role of religion and people of faith in public life. It's important to know that we can go to the Capitol as Catholics, right? We don't have to leave our faith at the door. And certainly we want to express our views in ways that are understandable to other people who don't share our faith. But at the same time, we can come as Catholics. That's not a violation of the separation of church and state, because there's no wall between religion and morality and public life. And Archbishop Chaput is going to help us get our heads around that in a little bit more tangible way. But we're going to have some engaging presentations, some panel discussions. We have a great MC, Gloria Purvis from EWTN Radio, who's going to join us and have some conversations with legislators and people who are out there living their faith in different ways in the public arena. Some entertaining videos, and then concrete action steps and tools and ways that people can get engaged more actively as faithful citizens.
Faithful citizens, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Okay, so that's it. But the other thing we haven't done is we haven't mentioned that website yet. We should probably mention the website. What's the website, Rachel?
It's catholicsatthecapitol.org.
Okay.
So if you go to that website, catholicsatthecapitol.org, you will find everything that you need from, if you want to get a bunch of people from your parish to come, check out that website. We have marketing materials. We have all the information that you need, and then there'll also be a clear way to register on the website as well. And so I encourage you to register as soon as possible. You can register now, and then you could go home for Christmas. Well, I guess this is after Christmas.
Yes.
So you can, at Christmas, you will have told all your relatives about Catholics at the Capitol, I'm assuming. So by the time that you hear this, all your New Year's Eve parties, you should just hop around to New Year's Eve parties and say, come to Catholics at the Capitol.
It's a great opportunity for parishes to become sponsors, becomes a sponsor of Catholics at the Capitol. They get a number of tickets they can bring parishioners. There's busing, there's park and rides in all corners of the diocese. There's busing from every diocese around Minnesota. So it's important to know it's not just an archdiocesan event. This is Catholics from every district in Minnesota coming together for Life and Dignity on February 19th. School groups, we've already got 7 high school groups coming, which is exciting. The legislators love to see young people engaged, and it's going to be a great day. We had over 1,000 people in 2017, and we think we're going to get a lot more than that this year.
Really?
So it's going to be fantastic.
It was an impressive group back in 2017.
Yeah.
That room felt really full in the River Center where we were. That was an impressive group. What's this going to cost me?
The registration fee is $40,
and
that includes breakfast, lunch, transportation to the Capitol, and then it costs something, and it costs, more importantly, it costs someone a whole day, right? This is a big sacrifice to be able to do that, but as Pope Francis says, politics is one of the highest forms of charity because it serves the common good, and charity in the sense of loving, willing the authentic good of the other, right? Mm-hmm. And that costs something, right? Mm-hmm. To, as St. Ignatius says, to love and not count the costs, to fight and not heed the wounds. To make an event like this possible, unfortunately, we need to have the support of the people, but we think it's going to be a great program that's going to add a lot of value to our walk as disciples mm-hmm. in the public arena. And plus, you get the intangibles of a great experience at the Capitol, outstanding speakers, and then we feed people as well. So I do want to note, though, for school groups, the first 20 attendees from a school group are free. So if you're if you have a class at a school, a high school class, or if you're bringing a whole grade, the first 20 are free. And anyone under 22, a student under 22, is free as well. So we're making it available for young people. Nice. If there's a hardship, certainly reach out to us, and we can see if we can accommodate you as well.
Yeah, nice. And I would just echo, I think it's really going to be, I know it's really going to be worth it for people, to echo some of Jason's comments. I think they're going to find the whole day is just going to be really integrated. You know, it's going from the morning program, the combination of speakers that we have, I think they're going to be really inspired, you know, how we live out our faith in general and what it means to be a disciple, and then moving into the faith aspect with politics, which I think is something that's so separated in our culture now and so separated in our political scene, and then those practical things, really equipping them to go out. I think people are going to be, who haven't been before, are going to be pleasantly surprised with really how much practical and spiritual growth that they're going to get from an event like this.
Are there going to be particular issues that we're going to be talking with our legislators about?
There will be. So we identify two issues on which the Minnesota Catholic Conference, as the voice of the diocese and the bishops of Minnesota, have taken a position. We'll use two of those issues on that day just as examples, and we hope that the people who attend will join their voice to the voice of the bishops that day, who will, again, be in attendance. But really, it's a day of training and a day of engagement that, you know, whatever issue you care about, you can take the tools that you've learned and embraced and been given that day and use that to talk about any issue down the road. So mm-hmm. It's important for us, again, to show up. It might be on the quality of our schools, the importance of new roads, any number of issues that people care about. But the tools that people are going to be given that day are going to help them throughout their walk as faithful citizens.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. That website again, CatholicsAtTheCapitol.org. And that's
yes.
Capitol with an O, I assume.
Mm-hmm. CAPITOL.
Right.
That's like the state capitol.
Yeah.
Like the state capitol. Right. Yes. Okay. All right. And well, it sounds like quite the deal. From the point of your roles at the Minnesota Catholic Conference, is this something that you want to continue doing? And if so, what are your goals for doing something like Catholic at the Capitol again and again and again?
Yeah, I mean, I think especially from an outreach perspective, we've seen, even since the 2017 event, just engagement, continued engagement. And I think really it's can be both a launching point and a continuing point for people who have already begun to be engaged with faith and politics, and then people who are just beginning. So even from the example of Catholics at the Capitol in 2017, you know, we have people that we've been in contact with that came to that event that was their first time meeting with a legislator. That was their first time really getting involved. And since then, they've continued that relationship. You know, they've called their legislator on issues this past legislative session. They've stayed in touch with the people from their group. And so I think the goals are to have it be a continuous touch point to give people, one, a place to come together as a community and make our voices heard and continue to grow in that. But then also to be a starting point for people who have never done it before, to launch them into that new place to bring the gospel.
Mm. As Aristotle said, justice is established through friendship. And Catholics at the Capitol is a day of civic friendship, beginning those relationships, beginning to reach out to our legislators as friends. Mm-hmm. They need us as friends, and they need us as resources. Yes, we're going to disagree on issues, but you can find something that you agree on with almost every legislator. And you got to find that common ground, build that relationship. It's okay to disagree. We disagree with our spouses, we disagree with our families.
What?
You know, disagreement is just a fact of life, but we have to engage each other civilly in the mode of friendship. And the more we do that, the more justice can flow. Mm-hmm. But as Aristotle rightly said, justice is a result first and foremost of friendship. And he meant that in the context of civic friendship as well. The success of Catholics at the Capitol is not measured by how many people are there that day. We're going to have a big crowd. It's going to be awesome. Legislators are going to take notice. The success of that event is what happens after the event. So we do these trainings, the Capitol 101, Catholics at the Capitol, precisely for, as Rachel was talking about, engagement. How do we help nurture people as faithful faithful citizens. We wouldn't be doing our job at the Minnesota Catholic Conference if we were simply lobbying and telling people to join us, telling people to be faithful citizens. We need to give them tangible opportunities to do so and model that for them. And that's what we hope to do that day.
Wonderful. That website again, CatholicsAtTheCapitol.org, 219-19. See, I've got it now.
Yeah, 219-19,
February 19th, 2019. It sounds like a fantastic event. I really enjoyed my time at the 2017 one. Looking forward to being with you at 2019, 219-19.
And again, registration as early as possible. It's a limited seating event. We limit the number in every district because we want to get a wide representation from across the state. So register early. Sponsorship opportunities are available, and that helps us keep the cost low as well.
All right. Jason Adkins, Rachel Herbeck from the Minnesota Catholic Conference. Thank you for being with us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you so much for having us.
Merry Christmas. We are going to go to a break. When we come back, we've got two guests who are coming in to talk about the March for Life and pro-life activities in parishes. We'll be right back. Rediscover.
Who is it?
Drew Mariani.
I look at everything.
I love listening to Drew Mariani.
From politics to the faith.
The issues of the day.
How do we keep our kids Catholic?
Healthcare reform.
North Korea.
How do we make it relevant to people who right now are so disconnected from the faith and from God?
U.S. immigration policy.
We need to become the saints that God created us to be. That's what we do here every day.
Thank you so much for your show.
It just enhances your faith.
I just love it.
Tell others. Follow us on Facebook. Hit the like button on the show page. Follow us on Twitter at Drew Mariani. Show, and you'll be able to get a lot of the articles, a lot of discussion we talk about on the show.
It's always fun. I mean, I enjoy what I do here because every day it's something different. And I hope you will tell others about the show, and I hope you will have them listen on the station you're listening to or online at relevantradio.com or on our mobile app.
Keeping you connected.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Stay up to date.
Weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern, 2 Central on Relevant Radio.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
We praise thy name, Lord of all, we bow before thee.
And we're back at the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Perrin, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, and coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. And brought to you by Catholic United Financial, every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio to talk about March for Life and all sorts of pro-life activities going on in parishes across the Archdiocese, across the nation, and around the world, maybe not quite that far afield. We've got Mary Beth Barbato, who's a group leader, is a group leader for March for Life at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake, and she attended the March for Life in 2018. Mary Beth, welcome to you.
Thank you.
All right. We've also got Maria Brownstein, who's with us, who is a sophomore in high school, and she's going to be attending the March for Life for the first time in January, the one in D.C. But you have been to the Minnesota March for Life, and you've done a number of things. Just looking at these things, it's amazing. You and your sister helped found a youth pro-life group at your parish, which won the Archdiocese Champion of the Life Award this year, and you've attended MCCL and SFLA conferences. You've gone, as I said, to the local Minnesota March for Life. You've been volunteering for many life causes. You've been doing a lot.
Yep.
Well, welcome, Maria. It's great to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, so as we're looking down at January coming up here and everything, it's where we turn our thoughts, especially maybe one of those months where we turn our thoughts, especially to pro-life, as it's the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and we're obviously that's what the March for Life is centered around. Let me ask you first, Mary Beth, about your experience at the March for Life in D.C. last year. What was that like?
Okay, so it was the first year I went. I took two of my daughters, and I was amazed at going with the Archdiocese that we got on the bus. And I'm thinking you're just going to sit and drive out for 24 hours. No, it was like a pilgrimage. It was like a retreat, a conference, right from the moment you get on the bus to the moment you get home off the bus. And in that time, I've never seen so much equipment for our youth, for myself as a parent, for anybody, that the stuff that they learned and we learned and are able to use now and go out and promote life and promote it lovingly and promote it just with a passion. I was just amazed at what that whole experience was. And I highly encourage every parent to really consider bringing their children or encouraging their children to go.
Right. And now you're returning this
Correct.
Coming January as well, next month. So is that partially why you're doing so? Is because you were so inspired by last year's journey?
Yes, correct. I came back and I felt the desire that I'm supposed to go to the parish and say, hey, let's just go. You know, who do I sign up under? And they're like, well, there's nobody, so you have to be it. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I can just do that. Well, you have to go through Father. I'm like, oh, I do? Because, you know, when you're a parent, you're just a parent. You don't know these things. And so just going before Father and saying, okay, I think God really wants us to go. It's in your ballpark if you give me the blessing to go or not or whatever. And then all of a sudden he said yes. And then I had even a fundraiser set up through the local grocery store. And we're like on our way. And so I've never done this before, but God can do anything, and he can just take me and he can say, yes, you're the one, go. And so here I am, the one that's going.
Well, thank you for your leadership role and saying yes to that. And speaking of leadership roles, Maria, turning to you for a moment. Now, you and your sister, Gabrielle, who's in studio with us. Yeah. Well, hi, Gabrielle. It's good to have you with us. So you've done a number of things, including starting a pro-life group at your parish. Tell us a little bit more, a pro-life group for young people. Tell us a little bit more about what that's all about.
Well, 2 years ago, my older sister attended the March for Life, and when she came home, she told me all about it, and it kind of became one of my dreams to be able to attend someday, as I get to do this year. But then we approached our mom, and we asked if she would help us to start a group for youth at our parish, and she agreed to, so she found another mom who would be willing to help. And we gathered some of our friends to do it. And that first year, we only had 15 members of our group, and we only met twice. And we weren't sure if we would be able to keep doing it. But God really blessed our work. This year, we have 37 youth,
wow.
And we are going to do meetings every month. And as you said, this fall, we were awarded the Archdiocesan Champions for Life Award.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's amazing. And what kind of stuff do you do? I mean, when you get together, and then do you plan events or what?
Well, we do a lot of stuff. We organize kind of field trips when there's days like the MCCL Student Day at the Capitol or an SFLA conference. Our senior high group does a seminar called Equipped for Life, where we kind of learn how to talk to people about being pro-life and how to defend our position. And then we do stuff like we organize diaper drives and we go pray outside Planned Parenthood and stuff
wow.
like that.
Yeah. So you're really taking an active role, which is good. What do you think? I'm asking you to speak for everybody in your age group now. Okay. Ready? So what do you think, generally speaking, what's the prevalent attitude, the prevalent attitude amongst people who are about your age when it comes to life? Is it really that a lot of people are being drawn to this? To understanding that life is really important from conception on to natural death?
Well, I think so, but I think also a lot of people my age just don't have the support they need, so they might be pro-life, but they might not ever talk about it with anyone because they just don't know how, or they're afraid to, because they don't have the support like we have at our parish with this youth group that we started.
Wow, okay. Tell me a little bit, you mentioned diaper drives. Tell me a little bit about what's involved there.
So what we do is on youth group nights, we'll have a big table and we'll be collecting boxes of diapers and wipes and also just any money donations that anybody wants to give. And then we bring them over to a Christian Crisis Pregnancy Center. And those centers, they help out the women who might have thought about getting an abortion but instead chose life. And so, yeah.
Wow. And these, yeah. So I'm assuming they're unused diapers.
Yes.
Okay, all right, just because, you know, a lot of parents might be interested if it were used diapers. Okay, no, obviously. So Mary Beth, back to you. Just thinking about particularly, you mentioned before that you would encourage parents, other parents who maybe haven't been engaged with March for Life before, that maybe they could be involved in some way in the pro-life movement. What as a mom, what's your advice to a parent who's, maybe as Maria just said, they want to be involved, but they're not sure how.
So I'll give you a small example. I'm a hairdresser, and one of my favorite clients was going off to college, and she was so supreme of this young woman. And she goes off to college. She's, you know, she's pro-life. She's strong Christian. And within 5 months, she came back to get her hair done. Within 5 months, she was swallowed whole. And all of a sudden, well, if I had to, you know, if I'm in this situation, well, I would have to do what was best for me. And I was like, how does that happen? And I'm thinking, we really have to equip our kids, because what they're facing out in the world is craziness. And if we don't start here at home, if we aren't going to be the parents that launch them forward and equip them, what chance do they have once they start college and then their young adult life?
Maria, what about you? Were your parents at all influential on you and your stance in pro-life?
Definitely. My mom is the leader of our group at church, and my dad helps out with teaching the Equipped for Life. So definitely. And then, of course, I was raised pro-life, and they taught me.
Yeah, excellent. Maria, just another question for you. You are going out to the National March for Life.
Yes.
But reflecting on your time at the Minnesota March for Life, what was moving for you? What's a moving experience that you can recount for something that happened there?
Well, last year, when we were walking from the cathedral to the Capitol, because we had gone to the Mass beforehand, it was freezing cold and there was snow blowing around everywhere. So we were just kind of huddled together trying to get to the Capitol, which was where the rally was. But once we got there, I was just astonished at the number of people. In the middle of the Capitol, where they had like those three floors, it was all full on every floor. We had to go up to the top, and just looking down, there were so many people, and there were people my age, and just everybody had signs and they were cheering, and it was so uplifting to see that I'm part of something bigger.
And then with that experience in mind, what are you looking forward to about the National March for Life?
Well, I think it's just going to be amazing being around so many people who are also pro-life, and just taking a stand for life at the heart of our country in Washington, D.C., and really showing that I am part of the pro-life generation, and there are so many people my age who believe the same.
Well, you are indeed, and there are quite a few from what I hear and what I read and that sort of thing, quite a few people of your generation who are the same. But there might be some people who are listening, or perhaps they're relatives of people who are listening, who might be of your generation but are still maybe kind of unsure about where they stand on the whole pro-life issue. Yeah. What would you say to them?
Well, I would say that you should try, if you know anybody who's pro-life, just talk to them and have a conversation and let them try to explain what it is that we believe, and hopefully you'll be able to see.
Yeah, a little bit of conversation never hurt anybody, did it? Yeah, very good. Mary Beth, what about you? Now, I think that, again, what I've heard, what I've read, it seems like the tide is kind of shifting towards life, but I'm thinking that, well, I speak for myself. I grew up in a time where pro-choice was very much, that was the way to go, that if you wanted to be in the in crowd. But what would you say to people maybe who just don't know where they stand, maybe moms who don't know where they stand or how to influence their kids towards pro-life? What would you say to them?
So I would probably encourage them just to get on their knees and ask God to reveal himself, reveal his truths, and start there. And then I just encourage these mothers and fathers to, you know, take a look at the babies that are around us. And if these are babies here, these are babies within a womb. And stand up and be a voice. You know, we stand up for our favorite sports teams. We stand up for our favorite this. We stand up for our favorite coffee.
Have you been reading my diary?
No, I have not. But if we stand up for this, for the babies, for the unborn, imagine what you give to your children. If they see you have an opinion this strongly about something such as life, just as you have an opinion about your Vikings or your Packers, imagine what
I might have one of those, yes.
Imagine the impact, though, that you could do for your youth.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, if the flip side of it is, as your children are walking through things, if they chose to have an abortion because they weren't equipped. I just can't imagine the pain and the sorrow that they have to walk through. And if you could block that or encourage a conversation that they would never have to walk that path, well, what a beautiful thing that would be.
Mm-hmm. Maria, what do you hope for when it comes to your pro-life group for youth at your parish? What is your parish, by the way? I didn't even ask.
The Church of St. Paul in Hamline.
Oh, it's the same church. Yeah, it's the same parish. Excellent. Good parish. A lot of good stuff going on there.
Yep.
But what is your hope? If you can dream, say, 5 years out about where the pro-life group for youth is at Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake, what would you wish for it?
Well, I would love it to keep growing. I would love it to just have all these pro-life warriors coming out of it, especially with this Equipped for Life seminar that we're doing, just people who are ready to go out in the world and to defend life. And I would also love it if any of the members who regularly go to another church, if they would start their own groups there.
Yeah. So is this something you think could be replicated in other parishes as well?
Definitely.
All right. So I'm going to send everybody your way. We'll post your personal email address all over our site. No, we won't do that. But I'm guessing if people got in touch with the parish, they might be able to share some information about how you got the group started and everything. Just one final thing before we let you go here. You've both talked about Equipped for Life a little bit. Can you just give a little bit of an idea of what happens at an Equipped for Life seminar?
Well, we have these videos that are from the Equal Rights Institute, and we'll watch the videos, and they're just all about not only the arguments that you should make, but how you should talk to people who are pro-choice and how you should treat them with dignity and respect, because they are as much human as the babies that we are protecting. And so we also just learn ways to refute the common arguments that pro-choicers have. And then after we've watched the videos, we split into smaller groups, and then we kind of do a debate and practice doing it.
I see. Can you successfully defend? What is one of the common arguments that is used?
Well, one of the common arguments is the woman saying, "My body, my choice."
Right. And what would you say to somebody who said that?
Well, first, you would usually ask the clarifying question of if she's talking about the fact that the abortion is done on her body or if she's saying that the baby is her body. And, of course, there are lots of ways to refute both arguments, so we're still learning it.
Wow. Okay. Very good. Wow. Well, I do think that there's a lot of very good things that are going on, obviously, at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake, but also around the Archdiocese in support of life. And I know that there's other people who are already signed up and planning to go to the March for Life in D.C. For those of us who stay behind, Mary Beth, I'll ask you, what do you think we can do during January, where we're focused on pro-life issues? What are the things that those of us who stay behind can do? What do you think?
So, obviously, pray hard, pray fast. And I would say start digging in to the information. There's plenty out there. I would say if your kids are going to Catholic schools, ask your school, hey, can our kids go to this March for Life conference with the Archdiocese out to D.C.? I hear it's amazing. Start there. Start asking your priests, what can we do? Start by even planning as a family going to maybe an abortion clinic and just praying for 5 minutes, praying for 10 minutes, praying for an hour. Maybe go to march at the Capitol in January, taking a field trip. Yep, you're going to be cold, but you're going to be around like-minded people, and you're going to hear people talk, and it's going to inspire you. I'm just a mama. Nothing big, nothing fancy. And if I can do this, all moms and dads can do this.
No such thing as just a mama. Maria, how about you? We'll give you the last word to you. What about people who are staying back at home? What can we do?
Just keep praying and just trying to find ways that you can get involved. See if you can find any pro-life groups in parishes or schools around you, and then going to events in the Archdiocese, because there are a lot of those if you research.
All right, wonderful. Mary Beth Barbato and Maria Brownstein, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our last break. When we come back, we've got all sorts of events that are coming up to help you deepen your walk with the Lord. So stay with us.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3%, with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
Merry Christmas, Paul.
And Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, it's been good to share this year with you here at the Rediscover Hour. Thank you for all your work.
I'm not going away yet.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I'm not planning to.
You're coming back. I'm glad to hear it. What do we got going on?
Well, a winter retreat weekend for young adults will be held January 4th through 6th, and registration is open. Into the Deep hosts this time away to get people outside, talk about faith, foster connections among young adults in the Twin Cities and beyond. 3-day weekend on the North Shore of Lake Superior is open to those between the ages of 18 and 39. Invite a friend, but also find new camaraderie in skiing, snowboarding at Lutzen Mountains, cross-country skiing and snowshoeing at Cascade State Park, lounging around Cascade Lodge. In the evenings, talks on theology of the body, Mass, Eucharistic adoration. For more details and to register, go to Into the Deep's website, idretreats.org/2019retreats/2019id retreats.
Women, you're invited to the Women's Day of Reflection with an award-winning local author and speaker, Liz Kelly, on the theme, The Desert Shall Rejoice and Blossom. This morning of reflection, brought to you by the Knights of Columbus Ladies Auxiliary, will take place on Saturday, January 19th from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. in Hayden Hall of the Cathedral of St. Paul. Join us for a morning of reflection on hope, healing, and the majesty of a woman's heart for the new year ahead. The morning will include Mass, a light breakfast, two talks, and adoration. Cost is $25, includes a light breakfast. For more information, visit www.lizk.org and click on events or contact Joanne at 651-900-1321.
The Office of Marriage, Family, and Life invites you to join Archbishop Hebda for the annual Prayer Service for Life, Tuesday, January 22nd, 10:30 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. This prayer service commemorates the millions of lives lost to abortion and the many women and men wounded by abortion's aftermath. All are invited and welcome. Immediately following the prayer service, we'll walk to the state capitol for the Minnesota Citizens Concern for Life March for Life rally. For more information, visit the events page at archsbm.org or call the Office for Marriage, Family, and Life 651-291-4488.
Discerning and using your charisms can change your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. Explore the ancient teaching of the Church on how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in your life and in the life of your parish. The Church of All Saints in Lakeville invites you to join them for a one-day called and gifted workshop Saturday, January 26th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To register, visit the events page on rediscover-faith.org.
Are you tired of divisive, angry politics? As Minnesota Catholics, we can begin to transform politics in our state. Find out more about Catholics at the Capitol. Go to CatholicsAtTheCapitol.org for details and to register.
All right, next time on the Rediscover, it's our first one of the new year. We'll feature the great Catholic parish of St. Mary of the Lake in White Bear Lake. Their staff members, Carlene Feist and Samantha Hagel, will be with us to tell about Be My Witness program. We'll also talk with Amy Cummings and Annie Culling about a brand new middle school conference called Rise Up Twin Cities, and Brian Gibson and Deborah Braun with Pro-Life Action Ministries. That's all coming up on the next Rediscover Hour, folks. In the meantime, I would like you to go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover.
The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.